Okay, before we start today's podcast, I want to tell you all about this cookingware that I have become just infatuated with, and that's Caraway Homes. I have their small frying pan as well as a saucepan. The frying pan is this beautiful yellow. The saucepan is gray with a matching lid. And of course, the beauty of them is not the only reason why you should want to buy them, but you should check them out because a couple of things. One, they are chemical free. So you know how you can cook with some types of like cooking ware and you're just leaching in all the stuff that they've coated the pan with. Well, Caraway Homes non-toxic kitchenware is designed for the modern home and feature a chemical free ceramic coating. So food can be prepared with a peace of mind that no hard to pronounce compounds will leach into your healthy ingredients. Plus, all of the cookware is equipped with easy access storage solutions. So you don't have to stack any of your pots or pans if you don't want to, and you won't be misplacing your lids because that thing will get on your last nerve, right? So again, they're modern, they're chemical free. They have taken what traditionally would be a 16 set cookware and got it all the way down to four. They have a fry pan, a saute pan, a saucepan, and a Dutch oven. Plus they have upgraded to two unmistakable classical shades, right? And they've dressed it up with a glossy gold hardware. I mean, it's absolutely beautiful. They also have bakeware if you are a baker as well. Again, they're non-toxic, okay, without any toxic materials like PFAS, PTFE, or PFOA, or other hard to pronounce chemicals, okay? They're easy cooking. The ceramic natural stick surface means minimal oil or butter, and it'll slide right off the pan if you're cooking eggs, and it's really easy to clean. And it's loved by so many people. Over 25,000 people have raved about their Caraway kitchen, and now it's time for you to give it a try. Like I said, I love it. My mother-in-law has been cooking like crazy on our cookware. I love it. It actually makes me want to cook again because it is truly easy to clean up and so easy to cook in. So visit caraway.com/argue to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. This deal is exclusively for our listeners. So visit carawayhome.com/argue or use code argue at checkout. Caraway. Non-toxic cookware made modern. Again, that's carawayhome.com/argue, just in case I said it wrong to begin with. But y'all know where to go now. Get your 10% off. Now on to the episode.
What's happening, family? Welcome back to another episode of
Is This Gonna Cause an Argument?
I'm one of your hosts, Marcus Tanksley, a.k.a. Tank, and the co-host of this podcast is...
My name is Angel Tanksley, also known as That Chick Angel. That Chick Angel. I know y'all ain't used to hearing my voice second.
Yeah, y'all ain't used to hearing me first out here. I was like, let us cause an argument.
Well, they did actually hear me first with the ad, but like you started off.
Started that thing off just right. If this is your first time tuning in, we greatly appreciate it. This is a podcast that we do weekly. Married couple, and we talk about anything we got dang feel like. And when I say anything, I mean anything that we feel like it. And we are joined by first our sponsors. You already heard from one. Who are the rest of the sponsors, Angel?
The rest of the sponsors for this fantastic podcast are BetterHelp, which we have been very good friends with for a very long time, HelloFresh, Hiya Health Products, and Philo. Can't wait to tell you more about all of them. So stay tuned and make sure you check out all of our sponsors.
Absolutely. And we are also joined by our immediate family. Those are the people on Patreon. All right. They talking to us right now. They listening to us live, record this live ahead of schedule.
Yeah.
They listening to our comments. They commenting back. Some of them are cussing me out. But hey, it happens. and the immediate family on Patreon, you can go to patreon.com and be a part of them for the low of $5 a month. $5 a month. All you gotta do is go to patreon.com/thatchickangel and be a part of that. You get all the behind the scenes stuff, you get all the extra stuff that we be doing. We be having karaoke nights and game nights and party stuff and sipping with tanks and all kinds of crap.
And it's not just for this podcast. You also get the Here's the Thing regular episode early, as well as the Bald and the Beautiful early, and any other podcast that me and Marcus are a part of where the host allows us to share with Patreon, you get it early.
Yeah. We're still working on Let Us Tell It. That might.
Yeah, that's that one you don't get.
Might be a while. So we're going to kick off this episode with a little segment we call Tanksley Pride.
Oh, yes. Hey. So you want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead and start. So Tanksley Pride, we have four sons, and we call them the Tanksley Pride. So it's usually, you know, a story or something about them that we discuss during this time. So Tanksley Pride, what's happening?
So based off of when you all see this, about 2 weeks ago, we left for our anniversary trip. And I noticed my baby, Amar, being like more on, not clingy, but like he was like really paying attention to me. And so Amar knows that if mama puts on her shoes, mama is leaving. So Amar saw me putting on my shoes and he saw the suitcases getting pushed towards the door. So Amar hurries up and runs upstairs, right? I don't know what he's doing yet until I see him coming down steps and I hear pat, pat, pat. He didn't put on his shoes, letting me know he plans on leaving with me. So I let him come outside with me to push the luggage out to the car. And then, because I'm like, okay, we're not leaving just yet. So let me let him at least have this. So then, like, I'm trying to get Marcus to come out the house, my husband Marcus. And then now my kids are coming, other kids are coming out of the house. And so Amar is now trying to go get in the car. And I'm like, okay, you're not coming with me. This boy dropped his head. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, no. I said, but you want to go inside and have some ice cream? He's like, no. And then he wouldn't look me in my eyes. And I was like, but I said, I'm going to be back. And so little Marcus went ahead and picked him up. And he put his head on Marcus's shoulder and just started crying so hard.
Yeah, he was doing the I can't breathe crowd. what he was doing when I came out. I said, oh, that boy is hurt.
I'm over here wiping his tears. I was like, I'm going to be back. He was so upset. And I'm not a softie for my kids' tears. Like, literally, I have told them in the past, and this is probably terrible, I've been like, your tears mean nothing to me. So you can cry all you want to. I need to know exactly what's actually happening. But that one, I was just like, oh, it just, something about it hurt my heart because I know how badly he was trying to just go with me. He's done it to my mom, but my mother was able to just take him with her. So I don't know why in that moment I was just like, oh no, I knew he was going to be over it.
He was over it before we got out of the neighborhood, I'm sure.
But it did just, I was just like, oh, the baby. And he's more cognizant, excuse me, that I sometimes leave for a long time. Mm. It's not like a, all right, she's going to be right back. I think he's aware. Like, when is back?
Gone.
So that's my Tanksley Pride story, is that my baby is now fully aware of, okay, mama's leaving. I'm going to get this heifer to take me with her. So I'm going to try to find more opportunities where that can happen, whether that's, you know, I just have to pay for a nanny to come with me on certain places, not so much out of town places, that I think that's a little bit more difficult, but like on other projects where it allows me to have the freedom to be like, okay, my child's coming with me to this. Just because I don't want him to feel like every time I leave for work, he can't come with me. So, yeah.
My Tanksley Pride story is, so we got back and we didn't see, Amar was alive, not alive. He was awake.
He was alive, but yeah.
He was live, awake and well by the time we got to the house, which was 2 hours later than we were originally supposed to. So it was almost 1 a.m. by the time we got back to the house. As soon as we walk in, I can hear him yelling through his door, Mommy! Like, he already knew what was up. So, of course, he was downstairs running around. He ran up, hugged his mama, laying in her lap. I walk in because I'm still, you know, bringing in luggage and stuff. By the time I step around the corner, they sit in the living room talking. He's in her lap. I'm like, hey. He just, like, looks up at me, puts his head back down. Same for the rest of them. The next morning, we didn't see the three oldest until the next morning because they were all asleep. So the twins, they were downstairs coloring on the shirts that we got them.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk in there. It's like, hey. So I didn't speak back. I just looked at them. So then they both got up and ran up and hugged me. Then the oldest, Marcus, I go in his room. Of course, he's still asleep being a preteen. So I just touched his arm, like real, like soft. And I just kept touching his arm until he woke up. And he's like, hey, you know, he kept his eyes closed but waved. Then he stood up, got out of bed, started making his bed and stuff. So I'm just sitting there. Then he's like walking past me. I was like, you ain't gonna hug me? He's, oh. So he hugged me. That boy's getting so tall. He's getting so tall. If I think of his height, he's 12. Mm-hmm. By 14, he might be eye to eye with me.
Don't kill me. Don't kill me like that.
Oh. I'm thinking by 14, he might be very close to my height.
How you going to feel when he's looking you eye to eye?
Punch him in his nose, or in his chest, every chance I get. Bow! You better get some push-ups in on that.
I can't even. He's like, it's all right. I was like, oh, he might have passed me here just recently. He
this summer, since he's been out of school for the summer.
Yeah, like the past 2 weeks, he's grown at least like probably 3/4 of an inch.
Yeah. He's getting, and this is crazy because me seeing him get older, I saw my dad's reaction to me getting older. Because, I remember dad, he would just look at me and just like, you know, just feel like just yesterday you was, because I was the youngest, but seeing Marcus and I, that being our first getting old, like, and I'm like, get a little dirt around your mouth.
We bought him
voice getting deeper.
Oh, yeah, that voice. I don't mind the voice. I will probably start crying once he has full facial hair because my favorite thing is rubbing on his face. I'll talk to him and just be rubbing his cheeks as if I'm not rubbing his cheeks while I'm talking to him. It'll just be like, so what do you think about doing today? And yeah. I'm just massaging his cheeks.
I'm glad he's not in a rush to grow up, though.
He's not. He's a little. Like,
yeah, he's just himself. He ain't in no rush. And I'm going to see. I don't think I was either at that age. I know dudes that were, like dudes I would go to school with. I'm like, looking back on it, I'm like, y'all was real eager to be an adult. But he's just like, I'm 12, let me be 12.
When we went shopping for him at in Turks and Caicos for his souvenir gift, I wanted to get him a hoodie. So we got him a hoodie. We had to base it off of what hoodie I could fit. Mm-hmm. That's how we had to find his hoodie. I now realize he can no longer, like, you know, Marcus, Big Marcus had got me a lot of really nice tennis shoes. And little Marcus be growing out of shoes or either beating them down so bad that if I want them to dress nice, I'd be like, you can't wear none of your tennis shoes because they look terrible. And so for a little while now, he was able to wear my sneakers of the nice ones. I think now my sneakers are too small.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, I just went and bought him a bunch of sneakers. I bought him like 4 pair.
9, 9.5.
Yeah, all 9, 9.5. He been rocking them though. But yeah, so that's our taxi pass story. Segment. Moving on. The next one, we rarely have these back-to-back. In my feelings. Let me tell you what's got me in my feelings.
I got something making me feel good. Ooh-wee. Explain the segment, babe.
So this segment is where we talk about something that's grinding our gears, that's got us feeling some type of way, or something that's got us feeling good.
Mm-hmm. I'll start off with what's got me feeling some kind of way. So with all of the states in the world, for the most part, lifting mask mandates and stuff, and I get it, they're trying to get the world back to where it used to be, but the world isn't what it used to be. Like,
no, it's not.
COVID is still like a real thing, and I'm not saying that we have to live our life in fear. I'm not trying to promote that, but I noticed with traveling here recently, you know, now, you know, you don't have to wear it on a plane. People are really operating as if they know the status of the person that they're in close talking proximity to.
Yeah.
They know this. They know they're pretending as if they know their own status, because most people don't. Most people are under the.
That's why it was so bad, because nobody knew what they were.
Most people are under the assumption that, like, oh yeah, you know, I haven't felt anything, so I'm not sick. That is grinding my gears because it's like, I feel like that's how it is in America. We don't have any type of moderation, happy medium, I guess. Yeah. It's like we can be very all or nothing about things. And so like in Turks, there was a couple of times where I was like, oh, I'm kind of nervous. But for the most part, because we were doing a lot of outdoor activities and because the restaurants that most of the restaurants we ate at were also outdoors, there wasn't a lot of like, there wasn't a lot of moments where we had to be really close to people. Even with the snorkeling, I made sure that we were on the lightest booked ship so that we actually didn't sit by people the entire time.
No, we didn't.
But it does, I don't know, it does upset me because it's hard, you know, I'll definitely put it on a mask if we're in a crowded area that has very little ventilation. But if someone is still open mouth coughing, or wet sneezing,
yeah,
it's just like, yo, I get it. Other diseases are walking around. Not every cough is a right. COVID cough. Not every sneeze is a COVID sneeze. But we are actually still in the land of COVID, and we don't have as good of a handle on it as of yet. So if you know that, like, you have a cough, like, go ahead and put on that mask.
Yeah.
If you know you're sneezing, go ahead and put on that mask. You ain't got to think you got COVID, but just know that, like, we're in that time, that day and age where, like, your cough or your sneeze could be deadly for the person beside you.
Right. Yeah, I went to, we was on vacation. I went to book us massages. And when I went down to talk to schedule them, I'm sitting there talking to the lady inside the spa, and I can hear somebody in one of the rooms hacking up a lung.
Mm-hmm.
Like they are caught. I was probably in there, I don't know, the whole time I was talking to that lady, probably like not 5 minutes, but close to it, looking through the brochure, you know, getting the schedule of when they're available. That person never stopped coughing.
Mm.
Like I ain't talking about like 10 seconds in between cough, pause, cough. It was non-stop.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I look at her and I look back there and I look back at her. She's got on a mask that where she's just covering her mouth.
Right.
But I'm like, I backed away from her. I was like, you know what? I'll let you know when I'll come back.
Right. He was like, we ain't doing it.
I said, we ain't getting massages.
And I was just fine with that. I said, it ain't worth it for me either. What is worth it is BetterHelp. And BetterHelp is a sponsor of today's episode.
So I have been taking a lot of time on making sure I'm taking care of myself. I've had like the superwoman complex where I feel like I gotta help everybody. Everybody needs me. But I wasn't realizing that I needed me, right? I needed to care for myself. And I'm doing that by making sure I'm going to therapy. I'm working out. I am taking necessary breaks. I am prioritizing my sleeping and making sure I'm getting enough when I can get it, right? So how well are you taking care of your car, right? Especially if you've had the same car for many, many years. You're going to take care of that car because you don't want it to break down. You don't want it to fall apart. You're going to take care of it. And that's how our brains work. So why don't we treat them the same way? How we care for our minds affects how we experience life, so it's important to invest time and care into keeping them healthy. There are plenty of ways to support a healthy brain, like learning a new language or taking power naps. There's also BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is a extremely easy to use and easy to integrate system into your life. They match you with a therapist very, very quickly based off of your concerns and your needs. And not only that, like you're able to meet with your therapist so soon. There's a lot of times when you're trying to find a therapist the traditional way, you might find someone, but it might be a month or two before you're able to meet with them. That is the thing that I love the most about BetterHelp, is that you can start getting help, better help, sooner than later. And this is one reason why I think when you're approaching therapy for the first time, they're a great way to go. BetterHelp is online therapy And they, you can get it via video. You can do it via voice chat. They all, you can also like text your therapist, right? Like send, I don't want to say text like cell phone, but like send them a message to be able to get a response from them, which I think is great. It's also more affordable. Therapy can get really expensive, right? So especially in-person therapy, BetterHelp, they done brought down them prices so you can take care of yourself inside of your budget. And like I said, they match you really quick. Under 48 hours, you're able to be matched with a therapist. There's so much value in that that I can't imagine anyone not finding value in being able to find someone to help you that soon. So our listeners get 10% off their first month at betterhelp.com/argue. That's betterhelp.com/argue.
What's got me in my feelings?
Tell me.
Basically, so this dates back to, y'all hear me say this all the time, even when we were on vacation, about how much I and it's fresh on my mind because y'all, we filming these back to back. I, cigarette smokers. It truly pisses me off. The fact that people can do something in public that's so intrusive to other people and nobody cares. Like they say it all the time, you don't even have to smoke and smoking can kill you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you can't get in no car or drink and drive because you can kill somebody. It's illegal. Mm-hmm. The fact that somebody can drive down the street in their own car, yes. Mm-hmm. But blow smoke out of their window and it come into my window and get on me. That's like me driving down the street with an extra thick cup of Kool-Aid and just throwing it on people in the car beside me. Because that's going to stay on you for the rest of the day. Mm-hmm. We were on vacation. We went to the, we talked about it last week or.
Yeah, last week. Yeah, go
last,
ahead.
Last week. And we went to this place called Iguana Island where it's not inhabited by humans at all. It's literally just an island. Ain't nothing living over it but iguanas and sharks in the water and whatever the iguanas is eating.
Right.
That's it. So, of course, people dock there all the time and go visit. We didn't see no trash over there. I mean, it was clean. So we dock, we walking on the beach, and we walk to the other side to where they say, you know, you might see a little a small, like, 2 or 3 foot shark, little baby shark, some other stuff. You're going to see iguanas. Cool. So we all walking and stuff. Me and Angel actually saw the shark. Before we even got there, I get this strong whiff of cigarette smoke blown all up in my face, and I look, and probably about 15, 20 feet away, there's this dude taking his last puff of his cigarette and putting it out in the sand and throwing the cigarette into the bushes. I'm like, you are the problem for real. Like, I hate people like him. I want him to get a severe case of diarrhea, like hospitalized.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I wanted to go that far.
Never hospitalized diarrhea. Yeah,
he'll survive it. But, yeah, like, that... Nobody seems to care about this whole cigarette smoke. It is like people that know me, I like a cigar every now and then. If you go to a cigar lounge, there's lounges for places like that. You go to a cigar lounge, they don't even allow cigarette smokers.
Yeah, it's a different type of.
You're not allowed to smoke a cigarette in a cigar lounge because nobody wants to be around that crap.
Yeah,
but it just makes, especially out here in California right now. Like in the mornings, it's warm. You know, if it's not hot yet. You can't even ride with your windows down without, you know, somebody, the car in front of you. You going less than, you know, 20 miles an hour. If you behind somebody and they blow smoke out the window, it's going to come in your car.
Do you care the same about weed smoke? Somebody in Patreon was talking about.
Yeah,
how
no,
weed-
do that in the privacy of your own home where only you affected by it. Weed smoke is, what the thing is weed smoke is you smell it even without the smoke.
Yes.
Like the odor of weed is around. Odor is different. Smoke, the actual smoke.
Yeah, it's that it like actually latches on to fabric and stuff.
Like you can, like somebody can be smoking some weed, the smoke can be gone, but the odor is in the air. You can walk through that and it not affect you. It won't stick to your clothes. It won't stick to your skin. Cigarette smoke, you don't smell the cigarette unless the smoke is present.
Yeah.
And with that smoke, it clings to you. It sticks to you. It's choking. It's disgusting. I hate it. I don't want to be around nothing to smoke. Even if somebody got a cigar, don't blow that around nowhere near me if I'm not the one smoking it. If I'm at a lounge, when in Rome.
Yeah.
No, I get it. From growing up with really bad asthma, that's in Carmen, one of our Patreon mods, moderators, she was talking about it with her with asthma. It affects you extremely. Can you believe at one point in time that people could like smoke in the hospital?
You could smoke in the, it was 9 out of 10 doctors prefer Marlboro.
You could smoke on a plane.
Yeah. That was running commercials by Marlboro. Uh-huh.
It's crazy. It's really crazy. I mean, it was so a part of, I mean, it's still a part of, I think, some European cultures, but it was so a part of American culture.
This is how bad it was out here, or out here when I say in the U.S. I remember they finally stopped smoking in bowling alleys, and it almost felt weird.
Yeah, I remember.
You were walking there and not be just cut. Because I remember leaving the bowling alley, you would have to, everything smelled like smoke, covered in smoke. I remember I would always leave my clothes outside that night just for them to, you know,
get the smoke out.
Because for some reason, the natural air just gets rid of that smell, thank God. And before washing them. But then walking in, I'm like, it's weird that it's weird not to smell cigarette smoke
anymore. Oh, I would. This is probably the worst thing I've, it's not the worst thing I've done in my life, but it's pretty bad. When I was in high school, because we're in Kentucky and people, there's new smokers being made in Kentucky every day. Oh, okay.
Yeah. 10 were made in that statement.
I'd be wondering how new smokers come about. I'd be like, how's there anybody smoking under the age of like 40? They're 18-year-olds that are like, cigarettes. This is going to be my jam. Neck.
Bring it.
But anyways, I used to, if I could, I would borrow someone's jacket to go to the restroom so that I could cover my shirt. And if it had a hood, I would put it over my hair because it would also get trapped up in my hair. But then their hoodie would end up smelling like smoke for the rest. I would just be like, can I use your jacket? I'm just going to go to the restroom. I'm cold. I'd be like, oh, I'm cold. But it would be because I'm like, I'd rather it be on your jacket than on my clothes and in my hair.
Yeah. I mean, even in high school, we used to talk about kids that would try to sneak away and smoke cigarettes. It was like, ugh. Cigarettes,
and we
real?
Know, and we gonna
and
know.
This would be the weed smokers. It's like, oh, it's nasty. You smoking cigarettes?
I can smell it. You could have smoked 4 hours ago. I'm gonna be able to smell it.
It's on like their fingertips.
You can do it 8 hours ago. I remember my friend. She's no longer with us. She thought that she was sneaking smoking, and she it was hours. I mean, hours. It might have been a whole day, like 8 hours. And she was working on me. Cause we worked together and she was, working on me and I was like, you smoke. And she looked at me like, how did you know? I said, I can smell it. She was like, you can. She was like, that was, I don't remember. Like I said, it was a long time ago. I said, oh, I can smell the faintest amount of it.
Oh yeah. It's so pungent and strong. It's been people somewhere recently. I think, was I returning? Did we rent a car? I don't know. Somebody handed me a receipt and like cigarette smoke just hit me all up in the face. And I'm like, I've been watching you here for 15 minutes. I know you ain't smoking.
Yeah, you didn't smoke anytime recently. So this is not to make anybody who currently smokes feel bad. If you smoke and that is your prerogative, we just hope that you do it in a place where you're the only one smoking and not that people who aren't smoking also now feel like they are smoking as well.
And we would love you if you love you even more if you stopped.
So what's got you feeling good?
What's got me feeling good? I ain't talk about what had me feeling good.
No. We did Tanksley Pride. That's what you're...
Oh, yeah. That's hurt my feelings, too. Them dudes don't even want to talk to me. What's got me feeling... It's kind of hard to say because you gone. That's what's on my mind right now.
Don't do that.
But it's great because you be booking.
Yeah. But you can have your soft feelings.
See, that was soft feeling, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. Yeah. God dang it. Angel said, you can't just say the same thing. A lot of stuff has me feeling good right now. Mama, she's visiting right now. My mama retiring. That's what's got me feeling good.
She'll be able to visit more. Yeah. The CEO, the president, I should say, of Ladies LOL, of Leisure, LOL.
Mama had on a t-shirt that said, Granny Gone Wild.
These two. I hope y'all saw the Instagram photo they took with each other where he biting his bottom lip and she over here standing like a city girl. It's so cute. Yeah, it's good to have her in town because she cooking for these kids.
Oh, yeah.
They getting all the food. We actually trying to get back to them as soon as possible. But yeah, that's what's got you feeling good. You gonna ask me?
What's got you feeling good?
What's got me feeling good is that I'm over here booking. I feel really good. I feel like the work that I've been doing with my life coach / therapist has got me in a different mind frame of how I approach everything. And I feel like it is actually manifesting in the way that I want it to. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to Chicago to shoot something. I'm now a voice on a Cartoon Network show. So like I feel, and I've been having really solid auditions, like auditions that I can literally leave in the room and know, yo, even if I didn't book it, I'd have made some new fans.
Yeah.
So that's what's got me feeling really good. You know, I've been doing this. I've been a television actress for 17 years. So, you know, just feeling like, hey, I should feel like an expert. And I feel like an expert. And I feel like a lot of that is not because my talent has gotten any better. My talent has been solid for several years now. But I am now knowing how to make the way I speak and think back that up.
Yeah.
That's what the part that I think was missing is that when I approach things, the words that I say prior to working on it are things that are to my benefit and not to my demise. So that's got me feeling good because I think that that has been one of the things that has been a handicap to me before.
Yeah. Something else got me feeling good is... Oh, you got another one. Yeah, I got another one. I was just sitting there thinking about it. Like when we were on vacation and coming back and looking at the construction projects in the airport, and a lot of stuff came rushing back of things that I was going through while working for that particular company,
mm-hmm.
and being grateful that I am where I am. So I was having that thought process, but also thinking of, like, as much as we bitched and whined about it, these taxes and stuff, mm-hmm. being able to handle everything that we're handling is put me in a really good place. Now, like this is a lot of like Angel stuff is a lot more public than the stuff that I'm doing and working on. And yes, Mama's still here, or yeah, she's still here.
She's not here during the actual airing of this,
but she's here.
The taping, she is.
What was I saying? Oh, so yeah, being able to realizing basically where we at, where we're going. Like I said, Angel stuff is a lot more public than mine. So knowing, seeing all that stuff unfold that we've been working on and mm-hmm. grabbing hold of new things that we're trying to mold into something and unfold, it's got me feeling real good. And that's actually, we'll talk, me and Goose plan on talking about it when we talk about careers and stuff. But knowing what I went through long story short, I've had to deal with like racism through my entire career.
Mm-hmm.
Just because of my profession, I was an electrician. Then it came out here, general contracting. Whether it's on, you know, is just racism all through those careers because it's a majority of one or the other. It's either majority of white or majority of Latino, depending on where you live. And Black people get a very get the short end of the stick when it comes to that a lot of times. So to constantly work my way up from one level to the next,
yeah.
I've always held my head very high. Mm-hmm. And it always made me feel good that nobody would ever have the courage to say anything that could only have those feelings and send out little subliminal messages and know that they can't say nothing to my face. So at the end of the day, they got to look at themselves as a coward.
But come on.
Seeing myself surpass all of that stuff and then be where I'm at today, that's got me feeling real good.
As it should.
Yeah.
As it should. Before you let us into our next topic or a subject, because first of all, you're killing it, babe. I just want you to know you are killing it as the lead host on today's episode. Don't y'all think so? Let him know in the comments that this has got to happen more often because he be trying to fight it. And I need you to walk in it. Because
I can't be carefree. I got the track thing.
Yeah, good. But before Marcus takes us into our next segment, I want to tell you about our next two sponsors. One is going to have you eating right, and the other one's going to have your kids feeling great.
Y'all know we love HelloFresh in our household. We use it every single week. I actually have a delivery coming today on Sunday is when we get all of our deliveries. Y'all be asking me, Angel, how do you do it all? How are your wife? How are your mom feeding your kids? How you're doing podcasts? You're doing influencing? You're an actress? HelloFresh is where I do it. This is how I meal plan because Angel don't have time to be doing all the extras. With HelloFresh, I know I'm getting quality food, okay? The menu options are amazing because they allow you to choose like what type of meal plan you want to follow. We're pescatarian, so we follow the pescatarian plan. So one thing I know, I'm not going to have anything in there that our kids don't eat in there, right? No pork, no beef. If you eat those things, you can choose another plan where you get more variety and options. Two, everything's already pre-measured. I'm not in there sitting there with a little cup like, okay, they only said one cup of flour. No, that's what they gave me, right? There's easy to follow instructions. They have the pictures. They have the step-by-step guide. I'm able to have my kids participate in it. HelloFresh integrates into my life so perfectly. And my kids, I can legitimately say more than likely would not be getting as many home-cooked meals if it wasn't for HelloFresh. Also, if time is not the problem for you, but it's more budget and money, you're going to save about 72% by using HelloFresh versus going out to eat, right? And for a lot of people, it's cheaper than grocery shopping. So you're going to save money and time using HelloFresh. I absolutely love it. And you should give it a try too. Go to HelloFresh.com/argue16 and use code argue16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. I'm going to tell you that one more time. Go to HelloFresh.com/argue16 and use code argue16 for 16 free meals across 7 boxes and 3 free gifts. It's HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit. Now, I also want to tell you about something that my kids are, they love. Do you understand? Love. And that is Hiya. Hiya is a children's vitamin, right? And I know for some people, getting your kids to take vitamins can be a pain in the butt. But I'm going to tell you right now, the Tanksley twins are in love with Hiya vitamins. First of all, for me as a parent, I'm glad to know that their vitamins aren't chock full of a bunch of sugar and unhealthy chemicals, right? Or the like gummy junk, right? That a lot of vitamins have. Hiya is the pediatrician approved superpower chewable vitamin. It only has 5 grams. Well, excuse me. It doesn't have that. Most other vitamins have 5 grams of sugar, the children's vitamins, right? And that can contribute to a lot of health issues. Hiya is made with 0 grams of sugar. Okay. Zero. And zero gummy junk. And yet it tastes great. And it's perfect for picky eaters. The one thing that I feel like got my kids really excited about it is that with your first bottle, they get little stickers to decorate their bottle. So Kai put his name in stickers and then put like all this like clouds and sun and all the other little fun stickers, and Sai decorated his. And every month you can get a refill. So you keep the same beautiful bottle and you just pour the refills in there. Kai reminds me every morning that it's time for him to take his vitamin, which I love. But let me tell you a little bit about what's in it so that you can know that your children are getting all the things they need. So the vitamins are formulated to help fill in nutritional gaps, right? And Hiya has pressed with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables, then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals, including vitamin D, B12, C, zinc, folate, and many others that help support immunity, energy, brain function, mood, concentration, teeth, bones, and more. It's non-GMO, vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, nut-free, and everything else you can imagine. Again, I love Hiya and so do the kids, and I would love for you to try it. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. Receive 50% off. I said 50. You heard me. 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, you must go to HiyaHealth.com/argue. This deal is not available on their regular site. Go to HiyaHealth.com/argue and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults. Now back to the podcast.
And we're back. I forget. I keep forgetting. So the main topic for today, picked out by our lovely producer, is performance versus reality. How do you think people perceive you? How those perceptions are accurate or inaccurate? So how do you think people perceive you, and are those perceptions accurate or inaccurate?
You know what I'm going to say to this? I think actually people get a very authentic point of view of me online. Mm-hmm. I think, though, what happens is the pieces of the puzzle that might not be, like, fully there, people will plug in what they believe mm-hmm. I should feel or believe how I should act. And that's when there is a conflict or a misalignment. And I think that's when people get frustrated the most with me.
Yeah.
Is when people are like, okay.
I've noticed that too.
People are like, okay, Angel's a mom. Angel is a wife who is very adamant about her attraction to her husband and her loyalty to him. Angel's a Christian. She is not shy about the fact that she loves Jesus. So then they'll plug in, oh, well, Angel would never say something that could sound mean or could sound
something outside of what they would feel, because a lot of people can relate to you.
Right. Or Angel, because she's a Christian, she wouldn't say anything that is like hypocritical. The piece that I sometimes think that people don't see or decide that doesn't exist is that I'm a flawed individual. But then the other piece that they miss is that I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. That I'm not like chasing after perfection. That yeah. I'm not chasing after being a example of perfection. I'm more so chasing after being as much of me as possible. And if as much of me as possible means that I'm going to continue to say things that I'm not ever purposefully trying to ruffle feathers. That's actually not my perspective or point of view at all. I really am honestly always trying to answer from where I actually feel and what I actually think. And, I think sometimes when it doesn't align with how people started to color in other pieces of me, it really just rubs them the wrong way. And it's crazy to me because I'm just like, I don't want to be that important to anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not an elected official to where there's an accountability I hold to the audience based on my perspective. Yes, do I give myself the responsibility of trying to make sure I'm not saying a lot of things that could be harmful to a community, that could cause a lot of harm? But I also am fully aware I'm not that full of myself. I am an influencer, but I ain't got the type of influence that is going to cause a revolt or that is going to make someone who, you know, if somebody's already racist, I'm not the one that's going to make them more racist. Or if somebody's already sexist, I'm not the one that's going to make them more sexist. People are going to end up being probably more than likely the same as what yeah. they were after
more,
coming.
Or less, yeah.
Yes. They're not going to really, I'm not going to be that much of an influence. The ways that I feel like I do influence people is that I'm like, you know what? You can go, you go ahead and be who you're going to be. Because of what I truly, honestly believe is that God is going to teach us those lessons through how we experience life, not because I taught someone mm-hmm. something. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I think that's the misconception. I think people think I'm trying out here to like mold people to believe what I believe. You ain't got to believe none of the things I believe. I want God in life to be your biggest teacher, because then you can't be like, Angel, you wrong. No, life will tell you if you right or wrong. It ain't going to be me. Yeah. But I think sometimes people want me to be that. No, you need to, you should say these things are wrong. You should be the example.
Yeah.
Nah, because I'm going to let life teach me too. Yeah. So I think that's the biggest thing. What about you?
I mean, I think similar to you, a lot of times, as far as being on like social media and stuff, a lot of times, yeah, what you see is what you get from me.
Mm-hmm.
For the, I guess I would say for the most part, I said, I don't know, it was a couple of weeks ago on Let Us Tell It, I was saying, you might not know this from me doing being on three different podcasts, but I'm actually a man of very few words.
No.
I know people was like, yeah, that's not possible, but it is true. It's like, I'm not going to be one to just sit and just start holding conversation, or even in a conversation, unless I have something that I feel needs to be said. I'm not going to do most of the talking in normal life. You know what I'm saying? Just in my everyday life. So that's something that I think people see just like, oh, you know, it's like people that like, if people see us when we're out, like they recognize us, I definitely hold a conversation with a supporter or anything like that. That's going to always happen. But it's not going to be me running up trying to, hey, how's it going? You know, it's just like, I got friends that's like that. And it's like, it was always a thing of they running off talking to people where I'm sitting at the bar. It's like, don't bring them over here, please. Like, I don't want to get to know them. So that's one thing. But also, and you say it all the time, I'm a lot more gentle than what people know. I'm a very caring person. I'm a very caring person. A lot of times if I'm sitting somewhere quiet, I'm either in my own thoughts or I'm making sure I'm looking out for the well-being of everybody that's around me. Is everybody safe? Is everybody good? All right, we good to go. It was one when y'all was on tour, and me, Mel, Danny, and Melissa, I don't know what we were doing. I know Melanie had to go back. She was still pregnant at the time. She had to go back to the house, I think, and leave the housekeeper or leave a kid. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. And I remember it was late, and I was about to go home. Now, we live in opposite directions from Kevin and Melissa's house. That's where we were, and she was staying over there for the night. And I was like, well, just give me everything, and I'll take it. You shouldn't have to go. Mm-hmm. And they were just like, for real. And like, even the people as close to me as them, they were like, for real? I'm like, yeah, I ain't about to have you just go out here.
Right.
On top of being pregnant, just being a woman, it was like 1 a.m. I'm like, I ain't about to let you go out here and just do that. I said, I can go do it. Granted, it's in the opposite direction, but it's only like 10 minutes. It ain't like real far.
Yeah.
Or whatever. So like stuff like that, it's like I'm actually more caring than what, and until people need me to be, they don't see it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like even like with, like we got friends, like I'll compliment their hair or something. Here you go. I'm like, I'm serious. Angel has to tell him, like, no, he's serious. He likes your hair. He's not. But thing is, they clown with me, so that's why they can't never take me serious.
Right. They always on the ready. They like, yeah, he coming with like, something.
Yeah, he's about to come. He's about to insult me. I'm like,
it's PTSD, babe. That's what it is.
But they come in with me.
Well, because they've.
We got one, and she always comes for me first.
Yeah.
Even from the beginning. And I'm like, when I come for you, don't be surprised.
Well, listen, because she's just like, let me just go ahead and unleash, because I ain't going to get caught off guard. Somebody had mentioned in our comments, Carmen, our moderator, she said, there's a standard biblically that we are to uphold. So sometimes it's an assumption we can have for people to have religiously. But sometimes if we are to be set apart, that means we live as much as we can, like Jesus did. He's an example. And see, and this is where I probably in a lot of ways be having people be like, Angel, but you're a Christian, because I'm always going to point people to Christ, not towards me. So I always am like, I don't want to be anyone's stumbling block. And I have my own convictions that I like try to operate under. But I do believe being a PK, what I have seen to be the biggest atrocity is people living these two lives, the one in front of the church or the people that they really care more about their opinion, and then the one they live outside of the church where they think they're no longer in the view
right.
of other Christians. And it's the biggest atrocity because we put on this front that these things make us less fit to be called by God, make us less fit to be loved by God. Yet they're participating in right. it, right? Yeah. Everybody's, and I'm not saying, okay, so now everybody condone, but I'm saying just be true about what your convictions are. And if you're not actually convicted by these things, quit trying to make other people, you know, I also go by the fact that there's, you know, no condemnation. So that's a bigger, that's what I'll say. That would be a bigger problem for me is if I were pretending like something was like I absolutely would never do that. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I was actually doing that mess or I was actually tempted by it or any of that stuff. I would feel more of a hypocrite and way worse in that way if I was putting it on Christianity versus me going, listen, if you want to know how I'm able to get over things quickly, if you want to know how I've been able to persevere, if you want to know why I'm so confident in myself, it's because of my relationship with Christ. And if you want to know why I have a love for a lot of people, it's because of my love for Christ and me wanting to show the love of Christ versus me being like, I'm going to show you how to walk and be a Christian. And I don't know. I've always, not always, probably by the time I was 16 is when I realized, oh, these niggas up in here lying.
Yeah.
These niggas is lying.
Like we had them even in my church. That's at an early age. That's why I always looked at people, I always looked at like the sainter than saints sideways.
Mm-hmm.
Like the people that's like, oh, I don't do this, I don't do that. Yeah, but you're doing something and it's probably worse.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's for an example, it's like the slap heard around the world. And when I gave my opinion on it, I was speaking from an honest place of how I would potentially react in that same situation. This world would be a much better place had everybody that was giving their opinion on, oh, he should have done this, he should have been grown enough, or if there was that many people that were that much of saints in this world or that level-headed in this world, it would be a much better place.
Yeah.
But it's so much easier for people to not speak from an honest place of, but what would you really do in that situation? Mm-hmm. Like, and that's the only way I was speaking of. I removed everything from it. If I'm sitting in the same position, I might overreact because right. I overreact sometimes. Everybody overreacts in some instance. I don't sit there going to my monk chi and meditate on things. Okay, I'll do this after it. I'll handle it this way. Mm-hmm. People talking, oh, don't let your emotions get the best of yourself. People saying that, like, you be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Let your emotions get the best of you.
Emotions be the best of them in the comments.
Comments. Everybody's, everybody in the comments is so perfect. Like I said, I condemned everything he did, but I'm like, I condemn stuff that I've done before.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I've had reactions to stuff where I'm like, you definitely could have handled that a lot better. You better than that. What was going on with you?
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. I think to like really answer your question, I think the only misconception that I feel like, And I be trying my best. I try to lead with my flaws in a lot of ways. Like, people know, not because I show them, but I say my toes is ugly, okay? They are not cute. People know that I am not in the shape that I want to be. I feel like I try to lead with a lot of my flaws, but also with a love for me in totality. so that there is never a, I don't want you to be able, and now I do think it's okay if somebody is like, huh, this seems contrary to truly who you've presented yourself as. Not basing it off a perception of what a Christian should be or what a mom should be or what a wife should be. But if it's something that I have truly presented myself as, for instance, if all of a sudden I was over here saying, well, I'm a really go with the flow type of person, y'all should be able to call bullshit on that. Mm-hmm. Like, I've never presented myself in that way. I have always presented myself as a know-it-all, as a control freak, as a lot of things that are... Some things I'm working on, some things I'm leaning more into.
And I'm going to control all of this.
Uh-huh, I definitely am. Because there are certain things that I'm no longer seeing as flaws. I'm seeing them as superpowers that are just sometimes hard for other people to deal with. But before I continue my statement, I want to go into our very last sponsor for today's episode. That's good old Philo.
One of my favorite things to do after a long day of like recording and running the kids back and forth is unwinding and watching a little bit of TV. But not having the hassle of finding what to watch or the cost of paying for a crazy cable bill. That cable bills are out of control. It's ridiculous. Well, if you love TV, Philo is your solution. Philo is live and on demand just for $25 a month. If you can't get enough TV, okay, like especially if you love reality TV, because I do, all right? You know, you got all these things, BET, right? You need the AMC. You need all of these. Then there's no better way to watch. Philo does have, it has VHS, it has BET, it has A&E, it has AMC, plus more than 60 other channels, like Comedy Central, Nickelodeon, Paramount, and Discovery. They have so many channels that we all love to watch for $25. And if you love reality or kid shows, home improvement, or drama, Philo has you covered. They also have classes like Martin, The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Friends, and The Office. Y'all know I love every single last one of them shows. I love them. Save hundreds a month on TV. It's the most affordable way to watch at a time when everyone else could use some extra savings in an easy way to escape. No contracts, cord-free, commitment-free, hassle-free, and unparalleled customer service. Philo has an unlimited DVR. Save all your favorite shows so you can watch them on your own schedule. Philo allows for multiple profiles and multiple streams everywhere in the house can have their own safe shows and up to 3 simultaneous streams. Never fight over who gets to pick what to watch your favorite episode of Martin. Because you know, my favorite episode is when they all replay in their mind how they met. That's my favorite. And Marcus, of course, loves the talent show. Okay. Anyways, it's easy to use. It's super easy to sign up. Watch from phone, laptop, tablet, or TV with Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, or Android TV. With Philo, you can start watching in seconds for less money, with less hassle, and channel comfort. Sign up today at philo.tv/argue, and you'll get 25% off your first 2 months. That's philo.tv/argue. Now back to the podcast.
So yeah, certain things I'm no longer going to fight, huh? Right? Mm-hmm. I'm going to lean into some things I'm going to continue to work on. But yeah, I don't mind people calling me out on things that feel contrary of who I've presented myself with. But when they start trying to call me out on their own standard that I never said I had, I'd be like, this is a battle you're going
to
lose.
Yeah, that's what I was about to get to. Like, I consider myself a Christian. However, if I were to sit here and go through all the issues that I have with organized religion and even Christianity in itself, people would be like, then you can't be a Christian. No, I am. It's just the way I see everything and understand it and the history and the research that I've done, everything don't line up. Mm-hmm. So for you to say, oh, well, I'm a Christian, I don't believe those things. Well, that's fine.
Right.
You know, that's completely fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I do think it is. And even when I say all that, I can understand why people do what they do, because I'm sure if I were to look closely at people that I admire that I'm far from actually having an actual intimate connection with, there are probably some assumptions that I make that they actually did not present for me to assume. Mm-hmm. But I do think working long enough as a person that has made themselves the topic of their career, me being a vlogger, me being an influencer, I do think it is easier for me to give people grace because I'm sitting in it on a micro level, obviously. But because I'm sitting in it and because I think I have been paying attention to people long enough, just as being the youngest person in my family, usually a younger sibling syndrome is we watch and we learn. I learned that, like, people are also still discovering themselves as well.
Their whole life.
So once, even though there might be a standard that I want to hold somebody to, they don't actually have to uphold that standard. Like I said, unless you are an elected official, unless I have put a vote in for you or I am paying your salary, you are not obligated to me to be the person that I have allowed to be created in my head. Even if you led those lies, you know what I'm saying? You built this, you're not obligated to uphold those lies to me. Now, I'm also not obligated to continue whatever that relationship is, whether it be a supporter, whether it be a coworker, whether it be a friend. I can also terminate those relationships. I think a lot of that, I've had a lot of practice just being in the position that I've been in to be able to give people the grace to know that, like, nobody's out here perfect. Everybody's a hypocrite. Everybody, as much as we all think we have it understand and we know and we're concrete, there are small things that we don't realize could rock our whole perspective if they happened in our life.
Right.
Just everything would change. Yeah. We would question everything that we thought we knew if certain actions or certain mm-hmm. events happened in our life. And for a lot of us, those things haven't happened. But I acknowledge it. I acknowledge that.
I've seen that and thought and, like, not put myself in that, but it's like, what would I do in that position? That made me change my outlook probably before I was in my mid-20s. Like, I've seen things happen. It's like, God dang, like, thought I halfway had. I knew everybody think they got life figured out in their 20s, but mm-hmm. seeing certain situations and then, like, putting yourself in, it was like, so that helped me go further on in life of, like, don't judge off certain things, and, you know, ain't no telling what that person might be going through or what path led them to react to things the way that they do.
Yeah.
Like, if I led that same path, my reaction may be worse or better. Who knows? You never know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But one thing, a lot of people, a perception that come off is like, oh, you know, Tank's an asshole. I get that a lot. Not from people that know me. Mm-hmm. People that say I'm an asshole that know me, they just, like, in a joking way, like, oh, yeah, he's an asshole. But anyone that truly knows me that thinks I'm an asshole, that means they probably deserve that quality from they. Earned that. They earned that thing of that made me an asshole toward them. Because it takes a lot for me to be like, negative toward people that I know.
Yeah. I'm over here like, trying to see if I agree with you on that.
Like, in a truly negative way, like, somebody would have to pull that from me. That ain't a door that's just open on me. You got to go pick the lock and open it.
I do believe that there are levels to this, and I think and I think the level that you are talking about, you are correct.
Yeah.
I will say maybe the level that some of the people are talking about.
Like, no, that's sitting on the front porch. We didn't, we was walking on the sidewalk and that thing just jumped out the box.
Right. But I do, again, as much as I sometimes want to cringe, I am learning. I'm not saying embrace toxic traits, but I am learning how to redefine what those traits are and what it is at the, like, if it's easy for you to be an asshole, like if that's something that's easy for me, instead of, I'm now at the mindset in my 40s of, instead of looking at that whole entire thing as a negative thing, finding out what that is in you that's actually a really good thing.
Yeah. No, I'm not saying it's easy for me to be an asshole. I'm saying for me to react that way towards somebody.
Oh, no, I'm saying it is easy for you.
You think it's easy for me to be an asshole?
I think you know how to.
Deep.
No, you know how to flip that switch so quick, and I'll be like, well.
Let's go on, clean these tables, y'all. Y'all put these chairs up.
So I'm saying, I don't think the whole thing is that. I think something at the core of that is like a really, really dope quality, and like being able to pull that thing out and use it for your own like to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. And it might be like, one of the things that Kevin always says is that he's a shrewd businessman. Well, part of being like a shrewd businessman, yeah, is being an asshole.
Yeah.
So like, that's what I mean by, some people can catch the negative end of it and not really understand why they did. And there's more than likely a reason that they did and that they just have to sit and think about. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't say, you're not saying this, I wouldn't say that you need to excuse it. I would just say, I wonder how we can use that for you to reach the goals that you have. That's what my life coach would have said. She would have been like, how do we use this to help you in the way that you want it to help?
Yeah. And it has in a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
Like dealing with work stuff. Like, again, going back to my statement about, you know, dealing with race people, or, you know, people seeing that, taking orders from a young black dude.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, first I can be polite yet stern. Mm-hmm. Next I'm going to be an asshole and official. And that usually gets things done. It's just like, okay.
Yeah.
This is like, you know, this is, you know, beating on a concrete wall. Ain't nothing going to happen. Just go ahead and do what you got to do. And this black dude can get out of my face and shut up.
Yeah.
Thank you, Sarah. Appreciate you. appreciate you working together. Let me know if you need anything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I know what I'm doing.
Come on, babe. I love
So the next, we ain't there yet. Oh, see, you know what's got me messed up?
What's got you messed up, boo?
Oh, yeah, no, we 4 minutes over. So moving on, good people. This is going to cause an argument, the Wings and the Riders. Our next segment is Tank Our Advice. You heard it right. TANK, Our Advice. This is where we listen to a problem from our family out there. We listen to a problem and we give our take on it.
Yeah. All
give
right.
our advice on it.
So we have a soundbite from Tanisha Grant. Was it, is either Tanisha or Tunisha?
So my question was, I said before, my husband died a few years ago, and I wanted to see if you had any advice on how I can make sure that my teenage son learns to do the things that men are supposed to know how to do, that I'm afraid that I'm not able to teach him. Thank you. Love you guys' show.
That's actually a really good question. Other than like the hands-on stuff, and we say things that men should know how to do. That's one of the reasons why we started the other podcast. Now, there are things that I feel, you know, men should know how to do, as in like general stuff, like around the house. However, I will say, naturally, if he loves his mama, which I'm sure he does, he will naturally learn how to do anything that you need him to do, which will make him a man. Him taking care of his mother. It's maybe things that he doesn't know to do. If he sees that you need that out of him, it will make him want to learn to do it. As even the, I think the biggest, one of the most important things, qualities, in my opinion, of being a man is loving his family. And that's something that he's going to do naturally. I don't think, now they say, they always say, you know, a woman can't turn a boy into a man. However, a boy will become a man by taking care of his mom, even as a young boy. That I truly disagree with when people say statements like, hey, you hear them all the time, all the, you know, these bigger actors and influences. Okay, a woman can't teach a boy how to be a man. That's BS, because we have women, single women, raising these men to be good men every single day. And the way they go about doing that is they see the cares and the needs of their mother, and they take control and they handle that same that they would with their family. Now, if I didn't have my dad around, by me having a wife and having children, I'm going to naturally want to do whatever it's going to take care of them. And that's the most important quality of a man, in my opinion. And all the other stuff he can figure. He'll figure that out as far as like taking care of himself, simple stuff, changing a tire, fixing something, YouTube. Don't worry about that stuff. But as far as like qualities of manhood, I don't know if he has other examples as far as, you know, uncles or whatever it may be, friends that you may have, family, cousins. But just by him wanting to make sure that you're good, he will develop very strong male man qualities.
You done? Mm-hmm. I would just say, don't even focus on that.
Right.
I'd be like, focus on just raising a good human being. Because as long as he considers himself, you know, today's day and age, people consider themselves different things. As long as he considers himself a boy, a male, if he's a good human being, he will grow up to be a good man.
Right.
Regardless. And those things that, you know, we say a man should know how to do, if he begins to express the need to learn those things, honey, the Google and YouTube will teach you everything.
Absolutely.
It is unfortunate that your life partner, your husband, his dad passed away ahead of time, because yes, having a role model does help just in life. We as people have the tendency to look at those people who have done the things that we want to do to figure them out. But yes, if your life is not void of men at all, hopefully those people that he is able to even have small interactions with, he'll begin to pick up things just naturally. But at the end of the day, you being a widow and you currently being a single mom, I would not put that pressure on myself. If I, unfortunately, which we are not claiming, lost my husband before my children were old and gray as well, while my kids are in already activities where they are around a lot of other boys and a lot of other black men, my focus would not be like, all right, little Marcus, now you got to learn how to change oil. Things that I know he would have learned from his dad. Or I'm not going to be focused on, all right, little Marcus, now you got to know how to hang a TV or how to do this or how to do that. Things that I know he would have easily learned just by watching his dad. I am going to focus on, okay, let me help you be a good human being. Let me help you learn how to take care of yourself as a person, like how to make money, how to use your talents to be able to take care of yourself, how to treat people with the love and respect that you would want to receive back, how to lean on God when things are rough, and how to feel comfortable with me on bringing me your problems as your only parent to help you decipher things. Or if you don't feel comfortable with me, how to help you find, you know, someone sane that can help you walk through things. Those would be the things that I think I would focus on, and not so much the whole gender role, what they should know and what they should learn.
Yeah, I think naturally as a child wanting the best for their mother will naturally come, you know, and somebody said, what if he's a rebel without a cause? There are plenty of rebels with fathers in the house.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't going to change nothing.
And there are plenty of people who were rebels without a cause that end up you know, becoming adults with some sense.
Right. They learned some hard lessons in that rebel hood. But yeah, that's like Angel said, I agree. That's not like a pressure I don't think you should put on yourself. Mm-mm. Or him to learn. I think that stuff will come.
Unless he's,
coming from someone who's a son. I can only speak from that perspective. I can only imagine me the way I am with my mom. If my dad wasn't around to teach me things, I would have figured that stuff out. Like, my dad's gone now. That's the first thing I do now is make sure my mom is good. Mm-hmm. If he was gone when I was 8, I would feel the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. So unless if he starts expressing an interest, like if he's like, I really would like to learn how to tie a tie. Girl, if you ain't got a guy that can like, oh, I'll teach him, or even a woman who already knows, oh, I'll teach him. Use that YouTube. That's what we listen. My husband was learning how to do a proper bow tie. It wasn't something that his dad taught him.
Nah, I ain't know how to do no bow. I can tie a tie all day. Windsor, double Windsor, all of that.
YouTube. Is where we went.
What?
Right.
The only bow tie I seen my daddy wear was clip-on. Same as mine. Hell with that bow tie.
But he did. He figured out for you. Was it your birthday or Kevin's NAACP? It was some fancy.
One of the two.
It was your birthday.
My birthday.
He really wanted to wear a bow tie, and he wanted to wear an authentic bow tie.
Yeah, I didn't want the one where you just clip. I said, no, I want to wear a wheel so I can take it down at the end of the day. That was stupid.
So I do believe that is the blessing of the day and age we are in, because it was a point in time where the only way we were taught something was if the generation ahead of us handed it down.
Yeah.
So his dad would be the one to hand down everything. And we still do that. Like, it's not like that's gone. But there is I don't know what to call it, silver lining. I don't know, because it's obviously not the situation that you would have wanted. But there are so many resources for when you are at a loss on the thing that your son is wanting to learn that is coming from a place that his dad would have taught. Mm-hmm. There are so many resources out there now that hopefully you feel comfortable with you both tapping into, and him feeling comfortable to be able to ask you that so that you can help him find those things. But yeah.
Thank you,
Nisha.
Come on over to let us tell it. We can...
They'll Goosby, he'll show them how to do some stuff, how to hang a TV. Goosby just talked about that on one of his Instagram posts.
Yeah, I can teach him the other stuff.
There you go.
He'll be fine. Anyhow, we greatly appreciate y'all tuning in to another episode of This Is Gonna Cause an Argument.
Yeah.
Angel, go on, let them know where they can find you.
You can find me at That Chick Angel across all platforms other than Twitter, which I'm never on, which is at Angel the Actress. I was like, what is that? And you can watch this podcast on That Chick Angel TV and find me on TikTok at That Chick Angel TV. And also be checking out Mama Likes, because something is about to show up here soon.
Shoot. Y'all can find me on Instagram at Marcus and on the Gram, Facebook, Marcus and on the Book. You can find my beard and body butter called Man Shit. That's manshyt.com. Go over and check that out. And you can find me on my other podcast called Let Us Tell It. Over on Tanksley TV, make sure you go over there and watch some episodes and subscribe and all of that jazz. Yeah. Thank y'all for tuning in. We'll catch y'all next week.
Bye.